Welcome to another edition of Marketing Insights, a monthly podcast where we talk to industry leaders about key issues, trends, legislative initiatives, and association news that affects all of us who serve the construction, industrial, and MRO markets. Sit back now and enjoy as we learn together.
Welcome to another edition of Marketing Insights. Today we're talking with Alan Seip. Alan is the president of Toolbox Sales and Consulting, and has over 40 years experience, including Senior VP of Sales and Marketing for Klein Tools and President of Knipex Tools. His insights in selling through various distribution channels and professional contractors, in my opinion, is invaluable. Alan, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us today.
Thanks, Jar. I'm looking forward to it.
Good. Today, you're known as the tool salesman. I want to get some insights about selling in the industrial, commercial fields, especially to distributors and to the big box chains. So without further ado, let me just start some questions out, and you can give me your comments as to where the real world stands. So first question, is it true that customers are busy and have little time for salespeople?
Absolutely, and it's getting worse every day. As it just seems that many of the big companies, especially the major industrial houses, continue to cut back on product managers and purchasing type people. And so if you want to see these folks, you better have a darn good reason, especially on your first call. You know, many first calls are like a fishing expedition, and fishing is certainly part of the call, but you better have some bait to get that prospect interested in your company, or you're just not going to get, you know, invited back. You better know something about this company before you walk in the door. One good way to do it is just use companies like this one as a referral. You know, hey, we're doing this kind of business and solving this problem with XYZ company. So at your company, ABC, do you think something like this would fit in? Something to get them interested, and above all else, you want to get invited back for a second interview, right, or a second meeting. Two things. Number one, find out who else is involved with the decision for your products. We old line sales guys call it looking for Mr. Right. It's amazing how often someone will call on an individual four or five times and not get the order, and notice that their competitor walked in the door, called on someone different, and got the order. So what you want to say is, listen, Mr. Prospect, in addition to yourself, who else is involved in making this decision? That gives the person you're speaking to the out if they're not the person to talk to, or they can commit that, yeah, they're the person. And then secondly, you want to try to set up the next meeting before you leave. Get some commitment that they're interested, and you have an assignment to do whatever it is to come back for your next call.
Well, I know with the advent of voicemail, caller ID, emails, that it is damn near impossible to call somebody, especially on the phone, even if you had their extension number or their direct dial number, and actually get a human being on the phone. So to your point, if you're going to send them an email or leave them a voicemail message, it's got to be basically what's in it for them to call you back.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Product-wise, most of the salespeople out there are selling a product as opposed to a service. Give me some reasons why you have to explain your product thoroughly and emphasize what good things this product will do for your customer, for their customers.
Great. That's a good point. You know, the unfortunate reality is, even if you have a better mousetrap, you still just have a mousetrap. So you better walk through the door and be ready to give the features, advantages, and benefits of why that product is better, why it is better for that customer to the distributor to sell that product. And please don't assume that because you're calling on the ABC widget company that they know everything there is about widgets. They don't. Okay, it's your job to educate them and keep them up to date. And so when you explain your products that, you know, your blades will last longer, which means your initial cost is less and your employees will spend less time changing blades. You got to give them the features, you know, and the benefits. You also, need to find, you know, reasons when you're talking about your products of why they should buy from you. You know, your company is local, so we're aware of your needs and we're aware of the community. We keep a large inventory so you don't have to. You know, hey, I coach baseball at XYZ church down the street. There's anything you can do to bring you down, or not down, bring you to their level. Make your company be, you know, the national, but on a local level.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know in your past experience at both Klein Tools and Knipex, those are both premium brands, and if you don't adequately explain your products, they're going to think a side cutter is a side cutter is a side cutter, and that's not true once you get into the features and benefits, and again, the longevity of it, all the benefits to the distributor's customer. So it's even more importantly that you don't get mixed in this bag of, gee, you're just a your pliers or your side cutter.
Absolutely, you better have an answer, because, you know, a normal objection that any customer will say first, that's just like their standard message, is, "Oh, your price is too high." You better have an answer to come right back and say, "Yeah, my price is high, and here's why," or "No, my price isn't high," whatever the answer is. But you better have a good solid answer to those questions and that question right off the bat.
Yeah, well, that kind of leads me into my next question: Is it true that most customers will change suppliers for a dime?
That is absolutely an old wives' tale. Are there customers that'll change for a dime? Absolutely, but they are truly, truly in the minority. You know, for a distributor or a customer to change vendors for just a tiny little bit of money, changing vendors is a real lot of work. A lot of work for a distributor, so they don't want to change vendors, and they're not. The most of them are certainly not going to do it just for a dime. So don't get overly concerned with that. You know, your price is the price, and make sure you give people the reasons that they should be paying your price.
Well, I would think too that if distributors typically work on a 20 or 25% margin, they're cutting their nose off and spite their face if they buy the cheaper product and mark it up 20%, or their margins are going to be the same, but their net dollars are going to be smaller than if they get 20% of a bigger number.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as long as you're giving them the, you know, service they deserve, and the best service you can, people are not going to change for, the majority of people certainly are not going to change for a penny. You know, I used to always tell my kids in school when they'd say, "Oh, I don't like the so-and-so teacher." You know, my comment was always the same thing. Yeah, maybe you don't, but, you know, make sure you get along with your teachers, because if it comes right to that, that your average is, you know, 90 or 89 point something, 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 and they have the decision to make between giving you an A and a B, if you're nice to them and respectful of them, you're going to get the A. If they don't like you, you're going to get the B. So it's the same in business.
Yeah.
If your customers you know, like you, you're going to get the business. If they don't, and you're not servicing them well, then don't be surprised if somebody else gets the business.
Right. Well, speaking of service, customer service, what do you think, or what's your opinion on the salesman's role in customer service?
Well, you know, certainly in getting new information and getting correct pricing and that sort of thing. But I think the thing that turns the tide on a customer's feelings about a salesperson is when there's a problem. And when there's a problem and that phone rings, you better answer that phone saying, "Great, thanks for letting me know about this problem. Here's what I'm going to do to try to solve it, and let's see that we can work together and get this issue fixed." Because if you duck their phone calls or you don't answer their emails and you leave them hanging out there, no matter how bad the outcome is, you're going to pay for this problem in more ways than one.
Yeah.
Even if you can't solve the problem, at least they know that you are working your darndest to do it. If you're a distributor and the manufacturer says, no way, I can't deliver for X number of weeks, well, then immediately call them back and tell them that, tell the customer that, and maybe come up with an alternative. The people will truly, no matter how mad they are, if they see that you're really working hard for them, that gets rewarded.
Yeah, good. Yeah, what's the tipping point in sales when the customer has several options to choose from? Again, unless, and I can't think of one instance that you're the only guy in the world that makes this left-handed widget. So what makes your widget better than any other widget?
Well, I think really you go, if it truly is a commodity-type item, pretty much. I mean, every product, I would hope, has a little bit of differences here and there. But when it really comes down to the end, and your bag of dirt is pretty similar to the other guy's bag of dirt that you're selling, it better be the customer service, and it better be you are the things that are going to truly make the difference.
Okay, good. What other insights might you want to talk about this afternoon?
Sure. A lot of the things, John, I get the biggest kick out of is the number of manufacturers that send their army of salespeople out unarmed. Let's just look at this scenario for a second. You're the Marines and you just bought a new kind of rifle. Are you just going to send that rifle out to, I don't know how many millions of Marines there are, but are you going to send that rifle out to all these guys and figure, okay, they're Marines, they know how to shoot a gun, go at it? No, you're not. You're going to train them. You're going to train them and train them and train them and train them on how to shoot that new gun. Well, here's the manufacturers that spend millions of dollars putting together new products with research and literature and advertising and all kinds of things, and then they just put a sample in a box, send it out to their sales force, and say, go sell these things. That is absolutely amazes me that they don't take the time to train their people, whether it's just an in-house video of feature advantage benefits or put together a script. None of us are hopefully fool or brush salesmen that have a rehearsed script they're going to say. But it's give the salespeople a track to run on. Some are going to use it and some are not, but at least you know that those top 3, 4, 5 features, advantages, and benefits are going to go out there and they're going to be explained correctly. As you said earlier, I've been doing this for quite a while, and this is what I always say is Al's theory of salesman. You've got about 40% of the salespeople out there. If you hand them a product, tell them to run down the street and sell it, and by the time they get there, they're going to have some kind of a pretty good presentation cooked up in their head and do fine. You've got another 40% of the salespeople who, if you don't tell them what to say and give them, like I said earlier, a track to run on, these guys are going to do terrible. However, if you do give them something to say and you do give them a track to run on, they'll do darn near as well as that top 40%. And then the other 20%, those guys are your weather forecasters and your sports reporters that just, walk in and, hey, how are we doing? Didn't the Cubs or the Pirates do well last night? And, hey, do you have anything for me today?
Yeah.
So that other 20% probably shouldn't be in sales anyway.
Yeah. Well, no, you're right, though, that if you don't train the salesman, how can you expect them to go out, even if they're really good salesmen, unless they know the selling points of what makes this new product more viable than what the alternatives that are already out there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny how in some areas people go overboard on training. I mean, if you remember, John, back in my Klein Tools days, we had a race car. And I don't think people realize how many hours those race car drivers practice going round and round and round and round, for the big race. Yet, how many manufacturers just send their guys out with no practice, no script, no nothing, just go sell some of these, and then they're unhappy when the results are not good.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. So training is a keeper then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Good. Anything else that you want to share?
Well, you know, other than for those of you who are our age, you may remember the old United Airlines commercials. When the boss walks into the sales room and throws everybody an airplane ticket and say, go see the customers. I don't care what the non-selling sales gurus tell you. You've got to go see your customers. They want to see you, and they want to talk to you, and they want to remember what you look like. It's just very, very important.
Yeah, I'm of that old school too. That I call a belly button. The belly button. You can do your normal communications with them via email and phone calls and whatever. But again. People like to do business with other people, and they like to do business with people they know, like, and trust. You can't build up that relationship via email. So.
You're 100% right. It's like driving down the street, and there's two Italian restaurants. And on one side, you know the owner comes to your table every time you're there and says hi and thank you. And the one across the street, you never see anybody in management at all. Where are you going to go? You're going to go to the one where the owner, or in this case, the salesperson, is saying hi and thanking you for the business and taking the time to go see you.
Well, you know, and you just trigger something for me too, is to say thank you. I mean, you people take that for granted sometimes, that they think that you appreciate their order. You cannot say thank you enough. In my opinion. So, okay, well, good. Good. All right. Well, thanks for your insights, Alan. If our audience wants to learn more about Alan and what he might be able to do, he does consulting work in sales and sales training. You can visit his website at alan.sipe@alansipe.com. So, Alan, again, thanks. Great being with you today, and we appreciate your insights. And this concludes this edition of Marketing Insights. Thanks for listening.